It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea. When the world
was time this and that, I was back right on time. If you guys remember, I said 11:05 is the time you call in for your chance to win a couple tickets to the listener appreciation party. Simply call in with your favorite caller four, by the way, with your favorite end of show sounder. And if you are reasonably close to what it is in telling Sean, you win. You win. It's easy as that. And then Sean will play the sounder on the air to give the big reveal of that person's favorite sounder. We got a lot. You've got a lot to choose from. So we'll get to that here shortly as people are calling in on that right now. So apparently people remember. They really want those tickets. We'll do it again tomorrow. We'll find another way to give them away if you don't win today. Also, remember, if you missed out with us or later in the day with Jeremy and Joe, John and Lance has, they have two pairs tomorrow because they didn't give one pair away today. So you have two opportunities tomorrow to win those tickets. So listen to the shows all day. You'll get your opportunity, except for Rich Eisen. He doesn't know about the party. He's not giving away tickets. Okay, some NFL news. We'll get to the Texans here shortly. The Baltimore Ravens give Zay Flowers a four-year, $140 million contract extension, $108 million of that guaranteed. He was and has been their best receiver. He's small for wide receivers at 5'9". But they reward him for a couple thousand-yard seasons. He's not a big touchdown producer, but he's far and away the best receiver the Ravens have produced since Lamar Jackson's been there, which you might consider a bit of a problem. He's a good player, but the Ravens, who certainly predominantly a run base, and they have leaned into that quite a bit with their acquisition of Derrick Henry, or at least when they made that acquisition, Lamar hasn't had a lot of help from the wide receiver spot. They've had good tight ends. Andrews likely's now with the Giants, but they haven't done a great job of finding wide receiver weapons. They've tried. Zay Flowers is a hit. Rashad Bateman, not so much. And then they have gone the veteran wide receiver free agent route several times to less than stellar results. But they reward their guy for being a steady contributor to what was, at least before last year, an AFC title contender. Never been able to get over the hump, Sean, because he is who he is, pointed out that one of the reasons they didn't get over the hump is because of that fumble by Zay Flowers in the AFC title game. But you don't judge a man by his weakest moment, Sean.
No.
And the Ravens,
we have a quarterback who has on that team.
Yes, who might get his own extension after a playoff catastrophe. Maybe not this offseason, but it might come if he can bounce back. So, Zay Flowers, paid by the Ravens. Sticking with wide receivers, let's hear from a guy who had a big day today. According to everyone out there, Jaden Higgins had a big day in his first team work with CJ Stroud. And that's interesting considering what we're about to hear. This is Jaden Higgins on building his rapport with CJ.
For sure. It's been good. I mean, it's a long process. It takes a lot of time, you know, not even out here in the film room, you know, watching certain things with him, certain leverages, how he wants me to, you know, take certain angles. So it's, you know, kind of a thing that's always revolving.
Maybe means evolving, but you get the point. That's a young player that they're going to need. And he's positioned to be their number two receiver, at least certainly on the outside. We'll see if Tank or someone else becomes a person who gets more targets as a slot, or maybe it's Dalton Schultz who becomes the guy who is second in targets behind Nico Collins. But it's nice to see that he's had a good day today. They invested at least draft capital in him in a couple seasons ago. So if they have their second guy, great. What level he reaches in year two, that'll be something I'm very interested in, because
I think the Texans have done a remarkable job stacking that defense with talent. And now with the signings of Clowney, there's depth there at spots as well. There's not a lot of depth on offense. There's not a lot of clear frontline talents either. If Jaden Higgins can be a guy who elevates himself to frontline talent, he would join a list of one with Nico. David Montgomery, he's a
starter.
He's a good player. He's a good starter
NFL
in the NFL.
Starter,
he's a good starter. And maybe Higgins in year two will become that as well to join along with Nico as one of your elite players. And that might be all it takes to unlock some of the things that this offense needs to complement Nico and what they hope is a efficient running game. So good day for Higgins, and we just heard from him. He's working to try to build the rapport with CJ. Maybe it's showing itself on the field.
Yeah, you're seeing the results.
Well, you can't see the results. At least you're not supposed to, because the Texans implemented a new policy. They don't want you filming practice. They don't want you taking photos of live, I guess, team periods.
Protect the team.
That was the big headline under all the information they're giving you. Protect the team.
Propaganda poster.
Yes, they also don't want reporters or anyone else giving live play-by-play. You want to recount what happened after the plays? I guess you can do that. But they don't want that live. So protect the team. It's a real, hey, guys, we're not punishing you. We just want you to think of the team because you're one of us.
Yeah.
Protect
the team. Yeah, it's a spin zone of
We're all the collective.
We're all in this together. Yeah. So don't record our practice.
Sounds like communism to me.
This is how the First Amendment falls.
Not being able to tell you that Nico Collins won on a slant route.
It's an attack on our freedom. To have to delay my report if I'm one of the beat writers there or a fan there that Jaden Higgins is cooking Stingley and Lassiter today.
So you can film one individual. You can film a guy stretching.
Good. But they're like, please film that.
But any 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 stuff are out, I guess. Do team periods mean 7-on-7 or just 11-on-11? Maybe I think team periods in football parlance means 11-on-11.
I think it probably is a thing that depends, but I would assume that it's 11-on-11.
Yes. So I've just – so Schefter tweeted out this
a video?
No, he would never. Okay. He would never.
First on the wall.
No, sure. Okay. You think Schefter would be definitely a collaborator with whoever?
Oh yeah,
with whoever
a royalist.
Was in charge.
Yeah, he's
to be a little fairer, a pragmatist.
Yeah, yeah. He's Littlefinger. He's Peter Baelish.
Yeah, you're never going to catch him being very vocal about which side he's on because that doesn't help.
And he's always playing the next guy if he needs to.
Like, we saw how he was attacked for the reporting on Kyle Shanahan. He's a guy who...
Hey, I know where my bread's buttered,
all right? Who slides in where he can.
Yeah.
And he's never going to upset anyone, not on purpose. So he wouldn't upset the Texans by tweeting out video of team or posting live play-by-play of team periods, but he tweeted out certainly the news of Zay Flowers, and then he listed the annual salaries of all the receivers. And some of this is funny money. You don't know how it's actually going to break down for Zay Flowers, but as it stands now, Jackson Smith and Jigba at 42 plus, Jamar Chase at over 40, Drake London at 35, so a giant gap between 1 and 2 and everyone else, and then Zay Flowers at $35 million a year. Tied with Justin Jefferson. Look, I get it. The next guy is going to get his money, and sometimes just because of when you sign, your money is going to be more than other players. But making the same amount as Justin Jefferson and a million more than CeeDee Lamb, Zay Flowers is doing that? Eric DaCosta, what are you doing? I'm not a Ravens fan. I don't care how they spend their money if they want to do it this way. But Zay Flowers is not a real number one. He is number one for the Ravens because there are no other options. But I just gave you the names. I'll do it again if you forgot. Smith and Jigba, Jamar Chase, Drake London, then Zay Flowers tied with Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb. I listed clear number ones.
Yes, and offensive player of the year last year, Jamar Chase, like if he hasn't won offensive player of the year like several times, if they gave out best receiver in the league.
Tyreek Hill was in his prime when he didn't win it. Like Drake London, you could argue with, maybe you want to blame his lack of quarterback play. That would be understandable. But Zay Flowers in the mix with all these guys?
Yeah.
Nico Collins, I know you just got more money, but you should go back in. I know.
The price of the brick is only going up. It's always going up, constantly going up.
He definitely should have waited. Like, he made it known that, it was important that they kind of did right by me by giving me a couple more bucks.
Yeah.
But you're still that far behind Zay Flowers?
Yeah.
Nah.
It's like the...
renegotiation time.
It's like if Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs was clearly better than the other, or they're both waiting on a deal, and then like some other guy just gets Bucky Irving gets a giant deal. Yeah, another good, good running back, but not as good as those guys. Gets a giant deal, and they both go, "Wait, hold on a second. He's in the club with us? No."
Like, Nico gets credit for not being, I put it in quotes, the typical wide receiver, not being a problem. Mm. He got a deal that wasn't commensurate with what he was as a player the first time he got a deal, but he had only done it for a year, so the Texans and him agreed on some money, and he quickly proved that he was worth more than that. And this time around, they gave him money to make him feel better about the fact that the deal he was currently on didn't match up with the best receivers in football. He went in there knowing that Jamar Chase was getting more and Jigba was getting more. But the Zay Flowers thing.
Yeah,
he might be of the mindset, hey, shout out to Zay for getting his bag. But I would think in the back of his mind, or maybe the forefront, depending on how important it is to him, a real conversation about a contract extension will happen in the offseason. I don't know if he goes back. He's not going to go back in immediately. But they will have a talk.
Yeah.
Certainly. And he will have, as long as his numbers match up to what he has been as a player, he will look across the landscape and maybe the Texans could tell him Justin Jefferson's better. They could say CeeDee Lamb is better. Whether he accepts that or not is one thing. They cannot argue that Zay Flowers is better. So I think we know the baseline of what Nico's going to, well, at least what I think he should ask for. That $35 million a year.
Yeah.
If those are the true numbers for Zay Flowers.
Zay Flowers plus a dollar, please.
Yeah.
Like plus $17,000 that you're going to give to Malachi Tony or Malachi Corley. Tony can get the number.
Malachi Tony's making more than $17,000. that no doubt about that. But yeah, that money that didn't go to Malachi Corley just winds up in the receiver fund.
of
underpaid
the international
receiver fund. And that $17,000 goes on top of whatever the Texans give.
Yeah,
Nico to make Nico right. So there it is. Big contract to a good receiver, not a great one. And the Ravens reward their player as the numbers keep going up and up at that spot. All right, we'll go to break. We got a couple more segments to go here. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
The quarterback tiers are out, Sean. I mean, a lot of publications have rankings for everything. Literally everything.
NBA players, quarterbacks, baseball.
Yeah. Mike Sando of The Athletic.
This is the pinnacle.
Yes.
If I were to tier the
quarterback ranking...
quarterback or NBA, NFL list, this is tier one.
Yes. He talks to executives and coaches around the league. He talked to 50 of them combined to get their thoughts on where all these quarterbacks rank in the NFL. Like Sean said, we make fun of listsizen, the content creation that are lists. But if we're just going by the ones – that, or at least the one that has the most input from people who say they know and we expect them to know the most about the guys they're ranking, this would be the one.
This isn't the Ringer NBA list, all right? This isn't Bill Simmons being like, you know what? Peyton Pritchard, 64.
The Celtics were right not to include Hugo Gonzalez in the Giannis trade.
88th best player in the league.
A guy who scored 4 points per game last year. 50 executives and coaches rank 35 quarterbacks, not the rookies, but they're considered veterans. That could be a young veteran like J.J. McCarthy. Apparently C.J. will qualify as a young veteran. And the title holder remains Patrick Mahomes. Despite getting hurt last year, the Chiefs not having a good season, him not being great, he remains, according to all these football knowers, these ball knowers, the best quarterback in football, with Josh Allen and Matt Stafford tied behind him at 3. Joe Burrow comes in at 4. So that's the entirety of Tier 1. Mahomes, Allen, Stafford, Burrow. You could take some issue with Burrow because there are health concerns, and also the Bengals have done next to nothing since they made those 2 runs in back-to-back seasons when they were calling Arrowhead Burrowhead. Okay, clever name, but that has long since passed as being relevant. So those are the guys in Tier 1. As far as the teams in this state, there are 2 quarterbacks, of course, to talk about. Davis Mills somehow not on the list. But
politics.
Yeah. Considering who else is on the list, maybe Davis should have been on the list.
Tier 4, I might take Mills.
Yeah, Davis Mills isn't in a quarterback battle, so that's part of the reason why, if I just look at it, he's not on the list, because the guys on this list look like either potential starters for their team, and they're battling it out. That's why the list gets a 35 as opposed to 32. He is not battling with anyone, despite some of you hoping that he wins the job somehow. So he's not on the list. But there's a clear gulf between the 2 quarterbacks in this state. Dak Prescott, 7, so pretty high up in Tier 2. Tier 2 looks like has the most quarterbacks in it. C.J. Stroud at 20th in Tier 3, behind Bo Nix and Aaron Rodgers. Do we have a problem with that, Sean? If you look at everyone from, let's say, 10 on down, 10 to 20, which begins with Jordan Love and ends with C.J. Stroud, do we have a problem with anyone being maybe not even just ahead of CJ, but so far ahead of CJ?
No, I mean, once you get to the 14 Sam Darnold, but like, I get it. You know, like, I get it. He won the Super Bowl, played awesome in the NFC title game, especially compared to the postseason that CJ had. Yeah. You know, like, not, this is the ground we're going to argue. Now, like, at any other point in either of these guys' career, does it seem ridiculous? Yes.
Midway through last year.
Yes, but right now, whatever. Not arguing it. Lawrence at 16, that's when you start getting into like the, okay, like, are we sure? Jalen Hurts at 17. But once you get to Tier 3, and maybe it's just within the same tier, like it doesn't matter as much, get Bo Nix out of my face, dude. Get Bo Nix. Are you kidding me? Bo Nix?
I mean, I don't want to disagree.
And old-ass Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
at 19.
These are things I'm not.
It's like the 2 guys ahead of him in the same tier.
Directly ahead of him.
Yeah, so it's like I'm not really going to go to the wall on this, but it is like, are you kidding me?
I can't really agree with those 2 being ahead of CJ, mostly because while I will acknowledge what happened at the end of the year was awful, I will continue to say that's an outlier. And if that's an outlier, Aaron Rodgers is not a better quarterback than CJ Stroud. If you are willing to say the 2 games that ended the year were outliers, I'm not ranking Aaron Rodgers ahead of him. Yeah. Particularly when I watched the 2 on the same field, and I could reasonably say, it's hard to say it because were there 5 fumbles, some of them lost, some of them were snaps that were bad or whatever. So that those are fumbles. Aaron Rodgers didn't show himself to be a better player than CJ that day. Now, different defenses, different circumstances. But Aaron Rodgers was a corpse of Aaron Rodgers out there.
He looked like he wanted to go home.
Yeah. Like anytime the Steelers had to drop back the pass in clear passing situations, he had no shot. If he wasn't dumping the ball off on a smoke screen or getting the ball out of his hands quickly, he had no shot. That has a lot to do with that Texans pass rush. But Aaron Rodgers looked a little scared out there. I'm not ranking him ahead of CJ Stroud. If I go off the entirety of their season last year, And I don't expect much from Aaron Rodgers this year either. He's in a good spot now. If you don't know, he had the rant about a lot of people, ESPN, and their coverage of him and the Rossini-Vrabel stuff, and then he went after Dr. Fauci. Aaron, it's all good now because there isn't real football to be played. But in week five, no one's going to care about your high and mighty attitude on these topics. We're going to watch you on the football field and go, man, should he still be playing football? I know they added some guys, like Michael Pittman is there. You've got yourself some DK Metcalf, but still, it's a bunch of checkdowns and slants out there. You going to hold the football and throw the ball down the field any? I'm sure there'll be a fade route or two, but the ball is going to come out of his hands quick. I think he's acknowledged that they need to do more stuff under center. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to like that very much. He doesn't seem like a man who wants to turn his back to the defense anymore. So we'll see. So now's the time for Aaron Rodgers. There will be actual football to be played, and then we will focus quite a bit on you, and then we'll see how it goes. But I can't have him ahead of CJ. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Brock Purdy, while you want to put him ahead of CJ, I don't believe he's 9 spots better.
Yeah, that's part of it. Also, like, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, what did Jaden Daniels do last year that has him 7 spots?
I guess Jaden Daniels is the ultimate CJ Stroud candidate for, like, he is having CJ Stroud's career on a 1-year delay of, like,
definitely
where he's going.
Definitely.
Like, what was he last year?
He was coming off.
High tier 2 last year.
Yeah. So
it was probably exactly where Stroud was after his
rookie. I would imagine. So he played. He only played in 7 games. So it's a little incomplete. So let's see if he can be healthy for a year. What he is, but you are not wrong that if he has a above average year this year, people will be doing the thing that they do with CJ now. You remember how good he was in his rookie year? The expectation is that, at least for some people who hold out hope for CJ, and it'll be the same for Jaden Daniels, that he'll get back to that rookie year, even if evidence continues to mount that the rookie year was the aberration and he's more in line with what he was in year 2 and 3. But, yeah, Mike Sando does that list. He asked the ball knowers, and CJ Stroud ranked 20th, and you've got others like Drake May, Jared Goff, Jordan Love, 8, 9, and 10. And the bottom of the list has J.J. McCarthy at 34, Shedeur Sanders at 35. And if I'm Shedeur Sanders, I'm in the mode of competing for the Browns job. Don't put me on the list. You know what?
If you're going to have me under 9, come on.
Don't pull me. Look, you rank me when I'm officially the starter. But you don't need to go to 35 quarterbacks. And I didn't read the article. I'm just reading the list. So I imagine my guess that this is about guys who are either starters or competing for a starting job leads to the number getting to 35. But I prefer that if I'm JJ and Shedeur Sanders, you know what? Nah, I'm good. Like, Michael Penix is banged up, and he's another one of the guys who fits the mode along with Tua, some lower ranked guys on the list. Just for my own well-being. I don't need my name in headlines. I'm the last-ranked quarterback on Mike Sando's tiered quarterback list. I would prefer that you ignore my existence until I win the job, if this is how you acknowledge
me. I mean, he is competing with number 31, Deshaun Watson.
It's true. So, like, the gap between all the quarterback battles, like, you have Tua at 26 and Penix at 32. You mentioned 31 and 35. And then Kyler Murray at 23, which is tough for Kyler Murray to be the 23rd ranked quarterback. That's probably a little low. And the guy he's competing with is 34.
Yeah, like Kyler Murray or CJ Stroud. Like if you're Kyler Murray, you're looking at CJ Stroud being like, come on. Bryce Young 1 spot ahead of him. Daniel Jones 2 spots ahead of him.
He can't even be the best. Oh, you're pretty small to play quarterback. He can't even win that one. He's behind Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Tough for Kyler, but he's gonna win that Minnesota job. He's gonna be in a much better spot.
Yeah, he'll probably be hired next year.
Yeah,
if hired,
he gets to throw to Jordan Jefferson, Kyler Murray, Tet McMillan, which is a good player, but he ain't Jordan Jefferson.
There's levels.
Yeah. All right, we'll go to break. disappointing for CJ. There's room to rise. I won't say it's completely unfair, but I would say Bo Nix, I question him being higher than CJ.
Yeah, I think just being like having the two next, not being lower than the teens.
Yeah,
that's tough for the brand. 18 is a lot better than 20.
I gotta say, since mid January, the brand has taken some hits. It recovered with he's getting in
best
good shape.
Yeah.
He's much more focused. And then the walking into the facility video came out, and the brand took a major hit.
Let me read, see if one of the personnel people were like, I had him higher, but I saw him walk into the... I had to drop him.
What affected his status more? The multi-turnover games in the playoffs or the oversized T-shirt and shorts? Either way, the only way the brand's going to make a comeback is to go play well. And that playing role has to happen in the playoffs. And the Texans, hopefully, they've built a team around him offensively that can help him do that. All right, we got a couple more segments to go. More than welcome to join us. 713-780-3776 is that number to get in with us. We will come back.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
We'll get to some other things, but I did read more on why CJ is ranked where he is. And there's some stuff where this is how I feel. Okay, whatever. But there also is some actual football stuff in here that we certainly may have noticed here watching him week to week. According to one exec, he's starting to fall into that category of a quarterback who's hard to protect. He doesn't beat you at the line and get the ball out. He holds the football, and then when he holds the football, he makes mistakes. There is some mention from others about the offensive line, but they say he plays hurried sometimes, and he thinks he's going to get rushed. Then it looks – there's an expletive. Then it looks crappy, I'll say, when he's not rushed, but he thinks he is. And then people are like, what is this kid doing, making bad decisions when he's not under duress? That all breaks down to say the pressure he's faced is causing CJ to see ghost. He is not seeing the field the way he should because of the pressure he's faced over the first three seasons of his career. There weren't a lot of sacks by the Texans last year. The offensive line played better, and particularly in handling simple stunts, but have the first couple years did their damage, where the quarterback is no longer the confident guy we saw in year one. He simply had to deal with the consequences of a bad offensive line. And even last year, He suffered a concussion when he scrambled out of the pocket and took a hit on a late slide. So there is some concern from these guys that CJ is no longer seeing it, and also kind of flies in the face of what CJ wants. They think he'd be better off with a simpler offense where there's less of a demand on him. If we remember, he wanted more control. In fact, a lot of people were in line with CJ in thinking he needs more control. He's good. Give him more options. Give him more to do. He is going to figure things out, and it's going to be much better for him in the offense. It didn't really play out that way last year. There is a caveat that it was only year one with Nick Caley, but people around the league think taking more off his plate would be better for him because of their belief that he's a slow processor. Slowick, because he comes from San Francisco, that's considered a friendlier system to quarterbacks. It asks less of them to execute, and in some ways, it is the thing that Tom Brady really dislikes about quarterback play now, where everything's laid out for you. You are really just an extension of the play caller, and little is on your plate. If CJ is someone who is being rightly evaluated, correctly evaluated, and he is a slow processor. Remember the S2 stuff.
I was waiting. I was like, the S2 guy has to come out.
Yeah.
We
remember, and people are like, shut up, S2 guy. Look what he did year one. It was apparently a friendlier system for quarterbacks. But once he handled year one, give him more. Give him more, particularly after year two wasn't great. But it was pointed out in the same article that CJ was good, certainly, in year one. But Sloak wasn't fired because he was bad in year two. It's because the offensive line sucked, and it affected how the quarterback played. Yeah. And the Texans agreed with all the moves they've made to try to fix that O-line. And it ends with, this is a big year for him. But there's a belief from this defensive coordinator. The coordinator thinks he has it in him. So there is still some faith there, but there are some questions about what would be best for him. And maybe Nick Caley's system is one that they think is too demanding. We will see how it plays out. So that's the gist of why CJ is ranked 20th, 11 spots lower than he was last year, where he was in tier two and ranked the ninth best quarterback in football. All right, Sean, you mentioned during a break that the announcing teams for ESPN's college football coverage are out. So the top team once again, right, is Herb Street and Fowler.
Yes.
No changes there.
Tier one, number one, the Mahomes of this.
Would you consider the McDonough McElroy duo number two?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're still together?
Basically in order, yeah. Yeah, McDonough, McElroy, Katie George,
number two. I love Sean McDonough. The voice cracks when he gets excited about plays. He's my, as it stands now, he's my favorite play-by-play guy.
And McElroy has a little bit of the Aikman, like, sometimes I'm disgusted with the quarterback play and I can't really, I can't hide it.
He doesn't want to come down on them. They're college players and he was a really good college quarterback. He doesn't want to do it, but at some points he just bothered.
Or it's like he can hear like the ghost of Nick Saban in his ear being like, this is what Nick Saban
would
tell me.
You're on television, Greg. You got to be looked at as a jovial analyst. You can't say what you'd like to say, but sometimes he lets it out.
Yeah.
He just gets overwhelmed. So those are your top two. What did you say that if these, not those two, not these two teams in particular, but so if a certain team is calling your game, you know your season isn't going well?
Yeah, I mean, being a Texas fan, like, you're always going to get a little bit of a bump of, like, you know, the better team is just, and SEC, like, if it's a power conference team, like, once you get past, like, I don't know, team five, you're in a bad spot if Tom Hart, Roddy Jones, and Quint Kesnick are calling your game.
I know the second two. I've seen Quinn Kesnick, Roddy Jones, great Georgia Tech running back. Tom Hart. Who's Tom Hart?
I just can see his face on this graphic and his name. I don't know.
Apparently he calls games for the Braves when he's not working for ESPN.
Okay. Yeah. And then Matt Berry, Chase Daniel, Paul Carcaterra.
All names I recognize.
Yeah. That's another one where it's like, ugh.
Paul
if we're not playing Texas State, I don't want to see these guys. Yeah,
Paul Carcaterra seems like, it's a Friday night game. Like, if he's on a non-Saturday game, he'll show up there.
It's Louisville SMU on a Friday.
Or it's late night, final game of a conference's day. Seems like he's the type for that on ESPN. So, you're always going to shoot for Fowler and Herb Street. You can't always get them because they're at allegedly the best game of the season.
Yeah.
But if you are doing what you're supposed to, you're going to get a couple of their. That's tough because they are generally a game day.
Number one. Yeah. ABC primetime.
Like, you know, sometimes it's 2:30 if the best game is the SEC game. That'll happen too. But you want yourself some McDonough and McElroy. I'm trying to think who would be the unquestioned third team.
A Tessitore, Palmer.
You want to hear Tessitore. Get yourself some Dave Pasch as well. But if you never hear...
Pasch, for me, the Pasch team is the line.
Yeah.
Once you get past the Pasch team, it's over.
You know, sometimes it's not your fault because your program is scheduled a game against a directional school or a team in
Mississippi State on SEC Network. Yeah, like, I know we're not getting
But you want it... You know your program's in the right spot. If you get a sprinkling of all the top announced crews throughout your year, if it's consistently Tom Hart and Roddy Jones, no offense to those guys, they're just tears to this thing.
No, I like them.
You know you're in a bad spot.
I like them, but I like when they're calling, you know, BYU versus Arizona. I like that. I don't want to be in that spot. No offense. I know this is a place of great privilege.
Being a fan of Texas football.
Being a fan of Texas, playing in the SEC. Like, I don't know, what, all but 16 teams, essentially. It's impossible to ever have Fowler and Herb Street call your game. But for me, you know, I know I'm going to get them at least once, probably twice.
And if things are going well, maybe more than that.
Yeah.
That's all. It's all.
Listen, I have nothing but respect for Brock Osweiler as a broadcaster. But that's the nightcap, you know? That's the Cal Stanford game.
You would rather have Brock in El Paso, not in Austin.
Exactly. What
you're saying.
Exactly. That's
you're saying.
That's all.
Hey man, it might not be a great stopover for Brock.
No.
But as far as your team,
maybe one day Brock can work his way up to where if I see him calling a Texas game, I'm not like, ugh. fire Steve Sarkisian.
He'll long be fired before Brock gets there. If it's trending that way, how many analysts would have to go the Tony Romo route before Brock Osweiler?
Like it's the line of success.
Before Brock Osweiler is now the lead analyst.
Well, on this graphic, he's number 9.
Yeah. How many leave of absences would have to happen before Brock Osweiler is calling the big game of the week?
Well, sorry, Jordan Rogers. Sorry, Chase Daniel, Lou Riddick, Dusty Dvorak.
A lot of former players,
yeah,
and certainly some former quarterbacks.
Roddy
as well.
Did the aforementioned Roddy Jones, yes, who I like.
I like quite a bit. Roddy's called a number of Miami games where I wish it wasn't Roddy, only because it would mean the team was better.
Yeah, you want Tess and Palmer. That's the like, okay, we're in a big spot.
I remember Tess's tour because it was, and it speaks to what you're saying, because back the last time Miami was good before this recent run, it was 2017. They were number 2 in the country, hosting Virginia, and you know who had the call? Tess. It was a noon game, Eastern time, but we still got Tess's tour, and you know why? Because we were the number 2 team in the country.
Yeah
Fowler and Herb Street aren't going to be there, or maybe it was Reese Davis at that time, weren't going to be there for high noon against Virginia because they had just called a Miami primetime game the week before. But you know what? Tess was there.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for.
Also,
you know, your program is riding high.
With Tessitore, there's a little bit, and maybe it's just like his voice makes it so memorable. I'm like, oh man, this is gonna be a crazy game. Like, especially as the team that's looking for it to not be a crazy game.
Tessitore
doesn't do a lot of snoozers.
The author of a certain sounder that didn't play out really, and it's felt like the jump start to Charlie Strong's career at Texas, and turned out it wasn't.
That is Joe Tessitore.
That is Joe Tessitore. That's what we're talking about. It's a sound that lives on forever.
And you know your team is back when Tessitore.
Was it a Monday night game or Sunday night game?
It was
against Notre Dame.
I think it was the Monday. It was like the week one Labor Day Monday.
Yeah.
In 2016.
And it was.
It was like top 10 preseason.
I was trying to think of the quarterback because it was a running quarterback and he was part of their goal line package. He had a name.
Yeah.
He had like a, I forgot his name. Swoops?
Tyrone Swoops in the 18-wheeler
package. 18-wheeler package. There it is.
Because he wore number 18.
Yes, there it is.
And, was Shane Buechele was the, I'd say, passing quarterback game against.
They wanted to get in some big formations. They bring in Swoops.
Who was the, I forgot, Malik Zaire, I believe, was the
there have been
Notre
a long
Dame
line of Notre Dame quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Who flashed and then fell apart.
Yeah.
He among them.
Narrator, Texas was not back. They went on to go 5-7 that year.
Both teams had disappointing years, definitely.
Yeah, Texas went 5-7. Notre Dame went 4-8.
Yeah.
That game decided which team was going to go 5-7.
As opposed to which team was going to potentially play for a national
title. As opposed to this.
Texas is back, folks.
Outside of Charlie, outside of that and the Charlie Strong long finger because he put on that hat when they beat Oklahoma, don't remember many moments during the Charlie Strong tenure.
I was in school. I shared a campus with Charlie Strong.
Yeah, that's how that's described by most people. I shared a campus with the football coach.
The millionaire head football coach.
You're in the same vicinity as the highest paid employee of the state of Texas.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't remember many other high points.
There weren't
many. I'll be frank there. I don't remember many other high points.
Not many. All right, we'll go to break. We got one more short segment to go. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're back inside the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
I want to remind people that it is Houston Restaurants Week. It's your chance to not only get some good food, but help people out. All you have to do is go to HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. It's ongoing through September 7th. You can think of it like a citywide all-star lineup. Hundreds of restaurants, prefix menus, and every time you eat, you help the Houston Food Bank. Dine out, do good, and check out the full lineup at HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. Sean, did we do the reveal of the sounder? I said we'd do it. I don't remember. Did we get to it?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
We haven't done it yet.
Let's reveal. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, we gave away a couple of listener appreciation tickets, a pair of tickets to a listener. And all we asked them to do was be caller four at a certain time and reveal their favorite, or at least tell Sean their favorite sounder. And if they could accurately depict it, close enough, I would say, they would get the tickets. Pretty simple. All it means is you at least listen to the show some. We gave people a wide range of options, and someone won, and they chose one. Which one?
Yes, Daniel said he liked a lot of the new ones, but he had to go with this.
Flip me over, Mike.
It is pretty special.
It's also the Friday, mostly the Friday
it
one.
It gets played quite a bit on Friday, yeah. So it is a standard one that we play.
How I know I'm heading into the weekend.
Yeah, certainly. Is. Along with Michael being here, it's part of the, letting me know I'm almost done for the week. I can now get a good night's sleep because I don't have to get up at 4:45.
Flip me over, Mike.
Thank you, Daniel. Glad you got some tickets. We'll do it again tomorrow. We'll find another way to do them. Maybe tomorrow we'll just say caller four at a certain time. Who knows? But as I said, tickets throughout the week on all the shows, and we'll do it again the following week, because the party is August 28th at St. Arnold. We did it last year. It was a good time. A lot of people showed up. Hopefully you get your chance to join us in late August. That music means we're done. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what's it going to be?
I mean, I just...
Flip me over, Mike.
Okay. We'll see what Sean comes up with tomorrow.
Do you want my dead mom's
that
clothes?
That appears to be one of your favorites.
That was the Vegas favorite.
Yes. It is one of your go-tos.
This one's my favorite. And no one asked, but this one's my favorite.
We expected the fuggery.
I love that one. It's just... It's hard to work it in, honestly. There have to be certain moments.
It's a very thin line.
Yes. Yeah. And who you're talking about, honestly. Sean's protecting himself in the show. In, you know, using it sparingly. Rich Eisen's up next, followed by Jeremy and Joe. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.